following are some talks that I'm labeling as aspects of the mystic perspective. I'll start with 7, and then perhaps add to them over a period of time, as I'm inclined or inspired to do. Each one of these little talks, I'll preface it with a statement, a little aphorism, and then expand on this a little bit more. These 7 that I'm going to start with are: 1, decisions are subject to change at a breath's notice. 2, the donkey you ride to the door is too big to go to fit through the gate. 3, you cannot ride 2 horses at the same time. 4, where you place your attention, you are. 5, what you put yourself toward, you become. 6, what you put your attention on, you become. 7, intention is the key to capacity. While each one of them will form the basis of a short talk, perhaps it's better to consider these in depths through a series of contemplations or meditation. Out of that, and then through application, you'll find that they unfold to more depths. Each one can be very valuable, not just in a theoretical manner, or considering that it is an aspect of a mystic's perspective, but rather, I should say, these are parts and parcel of how a person who has a certain level of degree of realization and experience, a mystic living, actually does live within this world in actual daily life. And these are attributes and conditions, ways of living to cultivate for yourself. So I'll start with the first one, which is, decisions are subject to change at a breath's notice. This is a statement of non-attachment. Non-attachment to things is well known, and a person, as they go on further, will note that many of the difficulties and problems of life and decisions that are made are because a person is attached to something of a physical nature. They don't want to lose it. And yet, there's nothing that you can take with you of a physical nature, no monetary gain, no things, when you pass from this realm to another. In addition, each of the things that a person attempts to protect, they really are then constraining their possibilities for future action. That is, they're defining what the parameters or conditions of how they want to live are. And that is a set of prayers. Each one of these things that a person is attached to will determine how events unfold, both to keep or maintain the situation that one has, and decisions and openings of doors, opportunities may close, may open, because of this general framework of parameters. But overall, there's another process going on. And that function is one of guidance and teaching from the unseen until one learns how to live without being attached to particular items. So when a person loses something, generally speaking, they get morose. They cling to it. They feel as though part of themselves is gone. And they then attempt to recover some benefit from this. Rather than consider it that way, that a person has lost something, you might want to consider that you've gained something. And that is, you've gained an opportunity to lose the attachment to physical things, physical objects as being of great value or importance. And this frees you from the things of the world. So rather than being under, subject to the rule of objects, things, and the desires which relate to the acquisition or maintaining objects, a person becomes free of that when they lose their attachment to that particular object, or are not attached to holding on to the particular thing, knowing that they don't own it, but rather that the person is a caretaker for it. They can use it, and they then seek to use it correctly. By being unattached to an object, by not having the attachment, which is a state of non-attachment, which extends to one's body and further to one's attitudes, one's not clinging and holding to them, one doesn't lose anything, one doesn't suffer the pangs and desires and feelings of loss or gain, because there's no such thing as that. Rather, one goes through life and one partakes and utilizes, hopefully in the correct manner, as much as a person can, those particular objects when they're within one's presence and within one's possession from the standpoint of being a caretaker. When a person's attached to thoughts or objects, it also forms the manner in which their actions will follow. So it decreases the opportunity to receive real guidance. Guidance will always come within the forms and the manners and the screens, the filters that a person sets up. And the aspects of attachment or non-attachment will either close or open the doorway for this particular guidance. Now, the mystic, or the person who is attempting to live in a mystic perspective, but certainly the person who does, recognizes that within this world, we need to plan. We need to plan because we accomplish things. We achieve results. In order to go to the store, one either acts randomly or on inspiration in the moment, which is a way of living also, or one also plans for it and says, well, I'm running out of food, and so I need to go shopping on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, something of this nature. And so they're making room for that. They're planning for it. Now, this can be carried to greater extents. So if you're in the midst of buying a house or whatever it happens to be that you're doing, then your plans will have to accommodate that. Yet the person who's free from attachment of desires and mind, and even the conditions of planning, recognize that the inspiration or guidance for the things that led them to the plan can be changed at any given time. The conditions of life can change. The reason for doing something can change. The mystic
seeks to make decisions, and planning is an aspect of decisions, an outgrowth of making a decision. The mystic seeks not to be reliant on external factors so much as taking them into consideration, recognizing what they are. The mystic's not dumb. Doesn't avoid looking at life and seeing the causes and effects and the conditions of the world around him or her, but rather recognizes that these are not the ruling factors in making a decision. The person considers them as part of the overall package of choice. But the person of mystic perspective really relies on that inner sense and feeling and knowing and the unfolding or guidance that comes also through living to be the prime impetus in the sense of what to do, when to do it, how to go about things, and in the course of living, also what to plan, how to plan. So this is part of the mystic perspective. In addition to what may seem at some points like external guidance coming to someone, eventually a person of mystic perspective grows to the point of knowing. Understanding rises, and the vision of why a person is acting or not acting or doing grows, until as a person seeks to become of that one being with that toward that omniscience, toward that general knowing of why one is acting and what's taking place, one actually doesn't have to reason so much as feels and knows that it's correct and then is able to follow it. The development of this includes different degrees of what is called faith, because it's not tested out. And the knowing, the inner knowing is there that the action is correct or the guidance that one is receiving or feeling or unfolding is correct. Later on, as a person goes through the trials and errors and testing process, that knowing develops, and with the concentration and focus of heart and mind and breath and rising higher into the One, the perspective changes. And one of the reasons it does is because the person also lets go of their attachment and identification with themselves as separate, and identification and holding on to their body, the form of their body, their mind, their attitudes. And these grow and change and transmute. They change over so that identification is with that ideal and function is of this. Yet a person of this perspective also knows that things can change immediately, as close as a beat of the heart, as close as a breath, a single breath. And if that's the case, and it's known to be correct, then there's no dichotomy here, there's no contradiction. It's simply that one is moving in a certain manner, a certain path, whether it's known or unknown, whether the person is aware of it or not, and it is correct. And then when certain conditions are met, or the path changes or something else is called for, and the inspiration and guidance comes, and one knows to change that or go a different direction, then one follows it and knows that that also is correct. And there may or may not be corresponding understanding, consciousness, awareness, knowing of the reasons why behind it. And this, again, the mystic will know through trial and error, through practice, through living, whether he or she actually has to seek that degree of knowing or not, or how it's going to unfold. It's a sense and feeling of it being unfolding quickly, or the person shouldn't look for it, or it'll be soon the deeper understanding will come, and then trust that and acts on it and feels and knows it's correct, and so the living goes on. In other words, plans can change at a breath's notice, and the person is not attached also to the guidance or is conditioned by receiving correct guidance and inspiration, following it and acting upon it, and knowing that it too can change, can be altered at any given time, and that there are good reasons for the universe to move in that manner. Because a person does not always see from all the depths of the inner perspective of the greatest view of the One and what the real needs are and how it acts. But unfoldment, knowing, inspiration, and guidance can come in spurts, and there can be other reasons that one will find out through activity, or perhaps they don't find out through a change of activity or through doing. And that doesn't bother the person who is really aligned with this, because one knows eventually it will unfold and become aware of if it is needed to be in the reassimilation of the person. So what's being sought here in terms of living is to rely upon that knowing, that inner guidance, that feeling, the correctness of action, of the word, of doing, not doing, whatever it happens to be, of making the correct plan to do something and then stepping out on it, moving toward that, fulfilling of it. And then if that's changed at any given time, and that guidance and knowing is there, then one fluidly can move to what the correct condition is at that particular instant, that breath, and then follow it and do what needs to be done in the manner, the condition, the state that needs to be done fluidly without reservation, and it too is correct. So there's an old story that goes along with that, and that is a person wakes up in the morning, a mystic wakes up in the morning, and hears the voice of the divine in his ear, or guidance unfolds, whatever way you want to put it or place it, and it's to walk 100 miles north, go 100 miles north. And so the person packs their bags and leaves what they're doing and knows that it's correct and walks 100 miles north. And in the course of this, experiences what he experiences. And then gets to the end of that point at 100 miles, and the voice comes, or the knowing comes, or the realization, the experience, the feeling. Again, people perceive guidance and inspiration in different manners. To turn around and go 100 miles south. And so the person turns around and goes 100 miles south. Now, this is not contradictory. This is fulfilling the next step of the guidance. And yet if the person was clinging to the plan, clinging to going north and following that, and then looking for deep reasons for that, the person would get stuck right there. And this is the same with the person who makes plans based on outer conditions, desires, and thoughts. They limit their possibilities for real guidance, and they limit their possibilities for acting in the correct manner in the correct time at a higher level. It doesn't mean that they can't be successful in fulfilling their plans. It happens thousands and millions of times every day, and it happens in lots of people's lives. And if you examine your own life, you'll find the same conditions in which you followed plans you made and you reached that goal. This is the fulfillment of the prayer that you're issuing, and your intention will be filled. So with the mystic, the intention is to follow that word of the divine, the guidance of all-knowing being that unfolds through the heart, and one places oneself toward that, and in doing so, one becomes of that. One moves toward taking on that perspective and knowing and view of this being. the greater being of which one is. And in the course of that, one's vision increases and one becomes of that more and more. One becomes of oneself, one remembers oneself and realizes again some of the attributes and perspectives of oneself as one attunes to one's ideal. In the course of that, one finds that making decisions and clinging to choices, making plans, no matter how great and how inspired they are, not only can be openings of doors, but can be closing of the way if one clings to that, if one is attached to it and doesn't follow the aphorism in a living way of decisions are subject to change